It's 5 minutes with me.
Hi, friends. Welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. Hey, and welcome to May. You are in the home stretch, right? I mean, you're eyeing the summer that's right out there and all of the things that that's going to entail, but you're also in the final stretch of this school year and all of the great work you do with teenagers. I want to talk today briefly about stewarding identity formation in middle schoolers. So if you put a 9-year-old girl in front of a mirror and ask her to describe herself, her description will most likely be limited to two categories. Physical characteristics she sees: I have black hair and green eyes, I'm a little bit short. And what other people have told her about herself: I have a bubbly personality and I'm really talkative. But place a 16-year-old girl in front of a mirror and ask her to describe herself, and you'll get a very different sort of response. Sure, she'll still include some of those concrete what you see responses and some of those what others have told me about myself responses, but her response will most likely be filled with perceptions, who she perceives herself to be and who she perceives other or herself to be in other people's eyes. That shift is, of course, directly tied to cognitive development and the new ability to think in third person, a form of to form an opinion or viewpoint of oneself from a third person perspective, and even more abstract, to opine about what others must think of me, who others think I am. That third person thinking ability, a massive developmental gift from God, a reflection of our Imago Dei and one of the most important factors in faith development, it is at its simplest core the means of identity formation. Some might say that young teens aren't really capable of abstract thinking, and I say hogwash to that. But what is true is that young teens rarely, if ever, function with abstract thinking the majority of the time. Instead, they're more like two hot wires being touched together with sparks and jolts, moments of connectivity. But it's this presence of that on and off switching when it comes to abstract thought that makes middle school ministry both exhilarating and challenging. Think of it this way: a seventh grade guy in a moment of abstract sparking briefly entertains the notion that he's not only who people have told him he is. He momentarily considers, probably in a very unarticulated manner, that he's not only what he does, but there's more to him and that he can even play a role in choosing who he's becoming. And then the hot wires separate and he's back to thinking concretely. Now, his previously abstract idea, I can become a guy who's seen as a leader, for example, travels back with him into the land of concrete and black and white. Now that what if turns, at least for a time, into a it is, I'm becoming a leader. I saw this on a recent Sunday morning while chatting with an eighth grade girl from the worship team in our middle school ministry. She had just told me that she reads a chapter of the Bible every night, and I asked her why. Her response was, because I'm a worship leader and I need the Bible to help me with that. In some ways, her reasoning was extremely concrete. I am this, so I need to do that. An 18-year-old would have nuanced that response quite a bit more, but this girl's response was also drawing from her experience of sparking the hot wires of abstract thinking. At some point, she perceived herself as a budding worship leader, not only because she was playing a role on the worship team, but because it was an aspect of her growing identity. That's why, my middle school ministry friends, I often think of our role in terms of stewardship. When I was a young adult, I spent the weekends of 1 year crewing on a racing sailboat. My job was to fly the spinnaker, that large and colorful sail that's out front of the boat. The spinnaker is only used when the wind is coming from behind the boat and the other sails are much less useful. The other sails in other positions push a sailboat, but the spinnaker pulls a sailboat. The trick of flying a spinnaker is that it doesn't have a fixed edge like other sails, which are connected to things like masts. Instead, when flying the spinnaker, I stood on the side of the boat with two ropes, sailors call them lines, one in each hand, and I only watched the sail because I had to constantly make minor adjustments to keep it as full as possible. That's a great picture of middle school ministry, particularly as we consider identity formation and early adolescent development. Just as I was a steward of the spinnaker, you and I get to play a role in stewarding these early months and years of young teens perceiving themselves. Help them understand you are a lovingly and intentionally created child of God.
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.